East Coast College Training, July 13th through 19th, 2009. Athens, Georgia. Title: Christ Lives in Me. Evening Session: Christ Lives in Me, The Experience of Christ in Galatians. Message 5: Christ Being Formed in Us.
Praise the Lord. Amen. We're in Galatians again. Amen. Until Christ is what? Is formed in you. Okay, Galatians is a rich book, right? Amen. After tonight, we'll have one more sharing on Galatians tomorrow morning. So we hope that after this whole week is over, you will have a deeper appreciation of Galatians than ever before. Amen. Okay, as you're clicking here, clicking open your notebooks, you want message number 5, okay? Evening session, message number 5, Christ lives in me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Where is Christ living?
In me.
Me too. Yatoja. The experience of Christ in Galatians. Not the doctrine, not what? Not the teaching, not the concept, but what? The experience.
Amen.
This is what we want. Right, we want more of the experience of Christ living in us, right, in this wonderful book of Galatians. Right, we have seen all the evening meetings, right, from what? From Tuesday night, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and here we are Saturday night, right? Right, we saw what is God's, what did God have to do, right, to bring us those, bring those Galatians back to Christ? He had to what?
Rescue
them. He had to what? Pluck them out.
Amen.
He had to use the jaws of life to extricate them.
Amen.
From a very complicated situation of Judaism, which in Paul's view was what? The present evil religious age.
Yeah.
You couldn't imagine that he could call Judaism a religion ordained by God, set up by God himself, eventually become totally usurped by God's enemy, Satan, to distract God's chosen ones from his eternal economy, right? But you don't know that until you go to the end of the book of Galatians, where Paul said what the religious world, right? He talks about circumcision. That involves religion, right? That world was crucified to him and he to the world.
Yeah.
So you have to join Galatians 6 with the present evil age in Galatians 1 to realize that that present evil age Paul was talking about is the age of religion,
right,
of Judaism,
right.
Something that God could give, right? The enemy could use anything given by God, but the enemy cannot use God himself.
Amen.
Neither Christ, neither the Spirit, right, to frustrate his people. So praise the Lord, we got extricated.
Amen.
Or we're in the process of being extricated.
Amen.
From religion, right? And then, of course, we saw the Paul's experience in chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, to reveal his son to me, right?
No.
Very good. To reveal his son?
In me.
In me. Okay. That's God. Everything starts there, right? It all begins by God's, it is God's intent and what?
Pleasure.
And pleasure to what? To have Christ revealed in me. Then what? To have Christ live in me. Then to have Christ formed in me. Then Christ to make home in me. Then Christ my hope to be. Then Christ my all to be. That's what we're after, is that this wonderful Christ, the Christ of God, would be revealed in us, live in us, formed in us, make home in us. What else? Be our full hope and what? Be everything to us.
Amen.
Right? eventually that this very Christ of God would be wrought into every fiber of our being.
Amen.
Until we become Christ men.
Amen.
Right? God men, right? This is God's desire, and this is what Paul was doing with those distracted Galatian believers, right? So you must understand this background, or it's hard to enter into what Paul is after there in those six chapters when he wrote to those churches in the province of Galatia, right? At one point, you know, if you look at the end of Galatia, Paul says, you are running well, right? He used that terminology. Remember, Paul has the ground to speak to them in a very frank, bold, and loving and intimate way because he's their father, right? He's their spiritual father. When Paul traveled in his ministry journey, right, you know, from Antioch to Asia Minor, eventually to Europe, Rome, he wanted to go to Spain. When he ministered Christ to those unbelievers there who received him, they became what? Spontaneously, his children. Right? So we need a lot of spiritual children.
Amen.
How many children do you have? We need a lot of spiritual children, the ones that we beget. That means we impart. By ministering Christ into them, we beget a lot of spiritual children. This is what Paul was doing. Everywhere he traveled, he would go, first of all, what? On the Sabbath day, what? Right into the synagogue and minister the all-inclusive Christ. The what? The incarnated, crucified, resurrected, and ascended Christ. And so many there, what? Received that word. Not only mainly the Jews who regenerated, but the Gentiles, right? Many Gentiles were brought to Christ. So Paul had a big family. So he could write, right? As a loving father, a begetting father. He could write, right, to his children in a very loving, intimate way, right? And get a response from them. Galatians, you were running well, right? You read this book. He says, who hindered you? Who are these who are troubling you, right? Eventually, his burden was what? To bring them back to Christ.
Amen.
Bring them back to the very one that Paul imparted into them from the very beginning. So tonight, we will... We'll stay a little bit closer to the outline tonight. I'll do a little bit of review, and then we want to get into the outline. Tonight, we will focus, we will concentrate on this matter of Christ formed in us.
Amen.
Christ what? Revealed in us in chapter 1. That's our beginning, right? And then in chapter 2, Paul went on. Galatians, this Christ... Right? That was revealed in you needs what? Needs to grow. He needs to develop in you.
Amen.
He needs to mature in you until he lives in you.
Amen.
So you no longer live by the law. You got distracted. Christ was revealed in you. You were running well. You enjoyed Christ. You experienced Christ. You enjoyed your spirit. You got into the church life there in the provinces. I mean, in the province of Galatia, right? You were growing. You were running, right? You were sprinting. What? And then what? You were running well. Who hindered you? What happened to you? So Paul is speaking to his own spiritual children. We have to realize this, right? So he spends six chapter epistle to bring them all the way back to Christ.
Amen.
Christ revealed in you. Christ living in you. The very one who is revealed in you at your regeneration, who is born into you, that one now you need to live by that one.
Amen.
Don't use him to live according to the law. If you do that, you make Christ of nothing. You nullify the grace of God, right? Paul says, I do not nullify the grace of God.
Amen.
If we go back to trying to be good, trying to be a good Christian, trying not to do this, trying not to do that, right? You know, this is many times we're trapped by this. You're trying to be good, perfect, not sin, using our self-effort, trying not to go to a movie. And their friends want us to go to a movie when we're fighting, we're struggling, right? And you know, trying not to sin, not to go there, not to party, not to dance, not to disco. And we're trying. Trying not, because you're not enjoying Christ. If you enjoy Christ and someone comes to you about a movie, what's a movie? What's that thing? I just know Christ. You just tell him, Christ was revealed in me. Now Christ is living in me. One day Christ will be formed in me, right? To me, Paul says to the Philippians, "What? For to me, I don't know about you Philippians, but I know about me. For to me, to live is what? Is Christ. He's the reason I live. He's the reason I get up in the morning. He's the reason I'm a housewife. He's the reason I'm a husband. He's the reason I'm a wife. He's the reason I work. He's the reason I'm full-time. He's the whatever reason. He's the reason. Amen. For to me, my very being, my very existence, what makes me tick, what makes me live every day, why I get up, is to what? To live Christ. Amen. That's my goal. That's my aim. To gain more Christ today than yesterday. Amen. To gain more Christ tonight than this morning. Amen. Did you gain more Christ today than this morning? Amen. Good. Will you gain more Christ tonight than this afternoon? Amen. Will you gain more Christ tomorrow than tonight? Very good. That should be our attitude. For to me, to live is Christ. Don't forget, there's a comma there in our recovery version. Don't run it together. For to me to live. No, don't read it that way. For to me, comma. For to me, what? To live is Christ. That's Paul. Okay. We have this marvelous verse that we pray read, right? Paul says what? My children. I like that, huh? That's very tender. Very dear. Very endearing. My children. Suppose you got an epistle from Paul. My children. Wow, you say, oh, my daddy. Daddy loves me. He cares for me. That's Paul. Daddy is writing a letter, a personal letter to you. What are you going to say? No, I don't like my dad. You're not going to say that. Oh, what's dad have to say? My children, right? 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 With whom, what? I travail again. Paul is very wise in his verbs. He says what? Travail. Now, when you think of travail, what's the first thing you think of? Sisters? Giving birth. Paul used that verb to show this is what he's doing. He's travailing. Right? Do you like sisters? Right? Of course, I don't know if you're here and you have given birth. You like travail? I know you don't like it. You just like the babe to come out. Ah. But it's difficult for the babe to come out. You're travailing. Oh, not easy, right? Not easy. I travail, Paul says what? Again. Again? Why does he say again? Why? Because he travailed once to bring Christ into them. Paul considered the work, the operation of imparting Christ into the unbelievers as what? As a travail. It's giving birth. A lot of pain, a lot of heartache, difficult. Very difficult, very painful. Paul says, he was, in a sense, he was saying, Galatians, I came to you before. Right. I was in travail already one time when I came to you there in Galatia. I labored, I struggled, I agonized. I did everything I could, according to God's mercy and grace with me, to minister Christ to you, to impart Christ into you, to you, so you could get out of Judaism or out of the world or out of Adam or out of the devil's hand to reveal his Son in you.
Amen.
That's a travail. When you bring someone to Christ, believe me, that is a travail. If you don't travail, not that easy to bring someone to Christ. You have to travail. You have to pray. You have to consider. You have to consider the Word. You have to be absolutely one with the Lord in your labor, in your struggling, in your words, in your spirit, in your wisdom, so that the Christ that you minister to that one gets into that one. They repent. What is to repent? Is to have a change of concept. All the unbelievers have a funny concept about God, crazy concepts about God. They blame God for everything. They curse God. They blame God. They judge God. But when you present Christ to them, when you are in travail, right, you change their concept. Oh, I like God. He's not a bad guy. I like to know him. I want to meet him. Then you bring them to Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Your travail worked.
Amen.
And we think, oh, very good. Oh, you don't know how hard it was to bring my mom to the Lord. You don't know how many years I prayed for my dad to receive the Lord. That's right. It's a travail. Paul tells us it's a travail. That's just to bring Christ to someone for the first time, that Christ is born into them. All of us need a lot of exercise, saints, to know how to travail to bring Christ into people, that Christ would be born into people.
Amen.
They would have a regeneration, a rebirth. But don't stop there. I told you last night, when you were born there in the hospital, your parents did not leave you there and said, very good. Wow, that was really a struggle. Now I think I'll go home and relax and leave the little babe in the hospital. Somebody will take care of him. No, what? You had to keep what? You had to bring the little babe home. And then what? The struggle continued. Right? You travailed to put food in his mouth, right? I use the airplane method on my three children. You know, a spoon with food. It got in. Ah, good. Of course, it got all over, but at least some gets in. Praise the Lord. Some gets in. Some gets in, right? So this is Paul's desire, right? So then Paul is raising this family, the saints, the believers that he brought to Christ. And he hears about these Judaizers, and he writes to his family and said, Galatians, who hindered you? You were running well. What happened? So Paul eventually told them in Galatians chapter 4, my children, with whom I travail again. Galatians, I'm in labor again over you. I brought Christ to you. I ministered the rich, all-inclusive Christ to you. You were regenerated. Your spirit was regenerated. Hallelujah. Christ was born into you. Christ was revealed in you. Christ was growing in you. And now something came along. And, you know, in our experience of the church life, many times, all of a sudden, someone's like, what happened to him? What happened to her? Right?
Yeah.
We all know this happens, right, in the church life. So we need a lot of Pauls,
amen,
right? We need a lot of saints who have the life, the maturity, the way, what, to minister Christ, right, so that they could be brought back from being distracted from Christ to continue to run the race,
amen,
so that they keep running well. Don't you want to run well?
Amen.
I wouldn't want Paul to write an epistle, write and say, you were running well. I would prefer that he would write to us and say, what? You are running well.
Sure.
I'd like to get an epistle like that. You're doing well. You're running well. You're growing. Right. You're exercising your spirit.
Amen.
Right. You're preaching the gospel. You're in a vital group. Right. You're in the divine truths. Hallelujah. You're running well.
Amen.
No one is hindering you.
Amen.
But Paul wrote to the Galatians, you were running well. What happened? What happened to you? So Paul now has to what? Travail again. He has to consider how he can do a more difficult work. All right? You think it's hard to minister Christ to an unbeliever and bring Christ to that one and impart the divine life and nature into that one. Okay, after that one is regenerated, then what are you going to do with him? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells... Right, you just tell him that, right? And just pat him on the shoulder and say, very good, that's good. You going to do that? Is that travail? That's not travail. So we need to look to the Lord to what? To know how to travail in birth again. I like this. Again, right? Until what? Christ, the one who was revealed in these ones. The one who is what? Is living. They're not living. Christ is doing the living. They and Christ have one life and one living. The Galatians were probably, a number of them were in that experience. Christ was revealed in them. Right? Probably with a number of those, not all of the ones, because as you go on in the Christian life and in the church life, it's like fewer and fewer. This is the problem. Right? We can have a large number. Christ revealed in them. We all shout, hallelujah. Okay. Of all those who have Christ revealed in them, how many are living Christ? After you were regenerated, did you have the concept that now that you are regenerated, everything's okay? I'm regenerated. I'm born again. Like, you know, last night we talked about fire insurance. But I only told you the minimal fire insurance plan. There's another kind of coverage in Plan B. Right? And you need more insurance. I didn't tell you that. Because when the Lord Jesus comes back and we're not fully grown, we may be touched by the second death, right?
Yeah.
So tonight I want to sell you more insurance. So that when the Lord Jesus comes back, right, you have a full coverage. So when we grow in the divine life, we mature, we're fully mature. When the Lord Jesus comes back, he will say, well done. I want him to say that, right, to me and to all of us. So we need the maturity in life. So Paul was what? Travailing in birth, what? Again. This time, not that Christ would be revealed or that he would live, but Christ would be what? Formed. He uses a very particular verb. Christ formed. At the beginning, Christ revealed.
Right.
He has the Son of God, which is God's expression, God's Son. This one must be what? Must be revealed. This takes revelation. Not teaching, not doctrine. This takes revelation. Lord Jesus, hallelujah.
Amen.
Unveil me.
That
when I called on your name, the Son of God, the very unique Son of God, was what? Revealed in me. Then what? Then you need the experience. This one revealed in you, he has to what? He has to grow in you. He has to develop in you so that you begin to live by another life, a divine life, right? You live your human life now by what? Not according to your good or bad. No, you live the human life by what? By the divine life. And you live the divine life, what? In the human life. You live a combined life, right? This is the life that the Lord Jesus lived on the earth. He lived a human life, but not by the human life. He lived his human life by what? By the divine life. He could have lived his human life. You don't think he could have lived a good, perfect human life? But he chose to reject the human life and live by the divine life.
Right.
He was born with a human life, but he didn't live by that human life. That's mysterious. He had a divine life and a human life. He lived his human life by the divine life. And he lived the divine life in the human life all the time. You can sum up, in a sense, the life of Christ in like six aspects. He didn't come in his own name. He came in the name of the Father. He didn't live by his own life. He lived by the Father's life. He did not seek his own glory. He sought the glory of the Father. He didn't speak his own words. He spoke the words of the Father. He didn't work his own works. He worked the work of the Father. Right? He didn't what? Do his own will, but he did the will of the Father. Okay. Now, you know, if someone asks you, tell me about the life of Christ. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You got it. That sums up. If you want to sum up the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, this is the life that Christ lived. What's the first one? He didn't come in his own name. Secondly, what? He did not live by his own human life. He lived by the life of God. Thirdly, he did not seek his own glory, but the glory of the Father. Okay? Then the last three are WWW, not World Wide Web. WWW, what? Word, works, will. You got it? What are the three? Word, work, will. He didn't speak his own words. He didn't work his own work. And he what? He did not do his own will. I tell you, those six items sum up the wonderful, glorious, marvelous life of Christ in the four Gospels. That's the life that enters into people when they are regenerated and born again. The person, the Son of God, is revealed in them. Then they begin to live by this person. They live that life. Amen. We think, wow, if I could live by that life, oh, if I could live this way, oh, that's all I need. Well, Paul goes, there's more than that. It's more than just living by, right? Christ living in me in Galatians 2. There's something more in Galatians 4. What is that? Christ formed in me. Okay, let's look at the outline. One tells us that the most crucial and mysterious matter, it's crucial and very mysterious, revealed in the Bible is that what? God's what? Intention. I left out an adjective. What? Ultimate. God has an intention. But God has an ultimate intention. That is to what? Is to bring us to heaven, right? Is what? Is to work himself. Work himself. Work himself, right? In Christ. Into what? His chosen people. That is crucial and that is very mysterious. So this is Galatians. And notice the scripture reading, you have Galatians 4:19 and you have Ephesians 3:17. And we'll get into that in a minute. Okay, A, brothers, read A.
God's desire to work himself into our being is the focal point of our relationship
into the scripture. Hallelujah, the focal point. Okay, look at the verses, Romans 8. Romans 8, 9 through 10, tell us what? Our spirit is what?
Life.
Is not just living. We think, oh, if our spirit is living, that's good enough. When we exercise for our spirit, we say, oh, that sister, her spirit is so living. That brother, his spirit is so living. But no, here, it's what? The spirit is what? Life. That means God's divine life has saturated our spirit. It's not just living now and dead tomorrow. See? You may say, oh, boy, that brother's spirit is so living. Tonight, right. But tomorrow morning when he wakes up at 6 a.m., my, that brother's spirit is so dead. Right? You see, your spirit is conditional. It can be either what? Living or what? Or dead. But Paul here says what? Right? The spirit is what? Is life. Your spirit must be saturated, permeated with what? With the divine life. And we think, oh, good enough. If I could have a spirit, Sean, right? If I could have a spirit that's life, I mean, that's all I need. I mean, that's it, right? Well, no, that's only one part. You're only saved. We hear this. Are you saved?
Yes.
Yes, right. Well, how much? It's very kind. Are you saved? We say, yes. How much? One third? Two thirds? Or three thirds? Our spirit is life. That's Romans 8. Then, look at what Romans 8, 6, Paul says. The mind, right, what? Set on the spirit is what?
Life.
Is life. And because it troubles us so much, Paul added another thing called peace. Life and peace. With the spirit, it's just life. But our mind is such a problem, Luba, right? Isn't your mind a problem?
Yes.
You're thinking about all, everything you should not think about. But if we set our mind on the spirit, hallelujah, that's what? Life and peace. See, that's the working of Christ into another part of our being. Eventually, you come to what? Romans what? 8 what? Which says what? To give life, that one day we will be so saturated with Christ that what? We will have the divine life, right? Even in our physical body, our whole being, right, will be life. Life in our spirit,
amen.
Life in our mind, life in our body.
Amen.
So you have the triune God. Right, dispensing the divine life into three parts of our being, right? God is triune, we are tripartite. See, this Paul in Romans 8 here is talking about the same thing as he does to the Galatians.
Amen.
Right? And when he writes to the Galatians, you know, Paul was obviously a genius. Whatever situation he was involved in, he would take advantage of that situation. And he had a particular angle to write and minister from. When it comes to the Galatians, it's what? Christ revealed in me, Christ living in me, Christ formed in me.
Amen.
Right? He touches it from that angle. Revealed, living, formed to full maturity. And he touches the ultimate goal, which is what? Sonship.
Amen.
God wants to make us full sons, fully sons of God. In every way. When he talks to the Romans, right, the church in Rome, the Roman believers, he talks about what? Life in our spirit. What? Life in our mind. And what? Life in our physical body. That's the growth, that's the beginning, that's the growth, that's the maturity in the book of Romans. You see, Paul is using every kind of angle. Because he's agonizing, he's struggling, he's doing everything he can to minister this Christ that he has experienced into those ones, those saints at that time, to show them just to be born again is just the very beginning. You know, Carlos Arzabi and I, we were fellowshipping last night after the meeting, and it seemed like so many here in the state of Georgia, right? When you talk to them, or on UGA here, you talk to them and you mention something about Christ. Oh, I know that. Or, you know, Brian Lutz and I, right? Brian, yesterday we talked to this one guy there in front of the school of law school there. He said, yeah, I've been a Roman Catholic for 8-10 years. I know all those things about the Bible. You know, Brian and I are like looking at one another. You know, he knows everything, right? So what I did, I told him, you know, it's a school of law. I says, do you know about the law of the spirit of life? Obviously not. So I told him, there are the two laws there. in Romans 8. There's the law of sin and death. I said, don't you always want to have a tendency to do things you shouldn't do, right? You don't want to do them, but you still do them. I said, that's the law of sin and death. But there's another law in the born-again believers called the law of the Spirit of life.
Amen.
And we could tell from his faith, and he didn't know that. The Catholic Church, the Catholic Church didn't teach him that, right? So we have to teach people that.
Amen.
So here in Romans 8, right, we have, right, Christ, life in our spirit, life in our mind, life in our physical body.
Amen.
This is Paul's way in the book of Romans. Okay, I'm in 1B. Sisters, read 1B. Amen. Amen. Permeated, saturated, right, with Christ, so that this one Christ, he occupies our entire being. I like this, right? Of course, Galatians 6:15, that's the new creation. That means your whole being is what? Is new. Your spirit is new. It was dead before you were regenerated. Then the life of Christ entered, right, Sean, into your spirit and made your dead spirit alive. God, first of all, what? He quickens it. That means it's dead. It has no function. Then, when the life of Christ enters it, whoa, it becomes living, alive. Oh, it is God consciousness. 1 second, you're an atheist. A second later, hallelujah. How could this happen? Because the divine life has touched your human spirit and quickened it. And what? Made it alive. And then the divine life enters into your spirit. Just to quicken it is to make the dead thing living. The life element has not entered into you yet. So instantaneously, the divine life element enters your spirit and what? And makes your spirit alive and living, full of life. Now the divine life of God is in your spirit to regenerate you. Hallelujah. Right? To make your spirit what? New. Then, as you allow Christ, right, to grow, right, to transform you, it makes your mind new. Don't you want a new mind?
Yeah.
Do you like your mind?
No.
Well, don't hate it that much. You need it to study, right? At UGA, right? You've got to have a mind. But study with a new mind,
Amen.
With a renewed mind.
Amen.
So you need to be renewed. In what? In the spirit of your mind, right? The life in your spirit must invade your mind to make your mind new, to give you the mind of Christ, the thoughts of Christ, the concepts of Christ, the understanding of Christ, the mentality of Christ. It's possible, right, to have the mind of Christ, right? He renews your mind. Sisters, he renews your emotions. Now, when you cry, the Lord is not crying. And when the Lord is crying, you are not. There's a little problem there, right? So the Spirit needs to enter into your emotions to make it the spirit of your emotions. Then also enter into our will, right? To make the spirit of our will, that our will would be renewed, our mind renewed, our emotions renewed, our will renewed, our entire inward being totally renewed.
Amen.
Right? When your spirit is renewed, instantaneous. When your physical body is glorified, instantaneous. But wow, the period of time to renew your soul takes a lifetime. Don't think you could skip over that. No, you can't do that. That takes a long time in the Lord, in the ministry, in the church life, right, to renew your soul. That's what takes a long time. Eventually, God will make us a what? A new creation.
Amen.
Our entire being will be renewed. New spirit, new mind, new heart, new emotions, new will, new body.
Amen.
Don't you want a new body?
Amen.
Of course, the older you get, you know, we have all these aches and pains. We say, oh, my leg, oh, my head, oh, my arm, oh, my feet, right? You say, oh, my spirit.
Amen.
One day we will be a new creation. Our entire being will be saturated, but we have to grow.
Yes.
This is why we have these college trainings. So you can what? The Christ who has been revealed in you would what? Would live in you.
Amen.
Then eventually be formed in you.
Amen.
Then saturate you. Okay, C tells us when Christ occupies our inner being in this way, see, he's formed. That's what Paul is talking about. When he occupies your inward being to such an extent, he is formed in us.
Amen.
See, D tells us he was born into us at our conversion. Hallelujah, we got converted. Then what? He lives in us. It's not just a matter of getting someone saved and regenerated. That's just the beginning stage. Then you have to minister to that one. You have to shepherd him. You have to help that one, right? Exercise his spirit to pray, right? To seek the Lord, read the word so that, right, the Lord in his spirit then spills over into his inward being, mind, emotion, and will. So he begins to live Christ more and more. Okay, then it says, and he will be formed in us at our maturity.
Amen.
You have the verses there, right? E, this is needed, why? That we may be sons of full age.
Amen.
I have one son. And as soon as he was born, what? He's my son, right? Scott. And when he was 5 years old, he's no longer my son, right? No, he's still my son at five. And the very moment he was born on July 26th, 1977, oh, he's my son. A week later, is he still my son? 5 years later, is he still my son? 20 years later, still my son? What if he's 65? Is he still my son? But what's the difference? When he's 65, he's my son in maturity, right? I know today he would like to inherit all of his father's riches. I haven't told him. I don't have that much. Anyhow, see, when you are mature, right, you inherit everything of your father, all of his cars and houses and stocks. Well, today, they're probably not worth that much, but anyhow, all these riches you inherit, right, when you become a son, you know, of full age. This is Paul's concept with the Galatians. Paul realizes those Galatian believers, God has a tremendous spiritual riches
Amen.
In store for us if you mature. And only if you mature. His view is full sonship, where you will be exactly like the firstborn Son of God with his divinity and divinized humanity, but not as an object of worship. Right? You will be just like the firstborn Son. With divinity and humanity, but not in the Godhead. This is what God wants with all of us, to make us sons, full sons in maturity. If God would give you everything today, what would you do with it? Suppose you gave all of your gold coins. I don't know how many you have, or anyhow, just use that. You gave 1,000,000 gold coins that you have to your 5-year-old. Do you like that? He can deeply appreciate that, right? His all kinds of depth, deep appreciation. Thank you, Daddy. Oh, this is worth. Is that what he was going to do? No, he would throw them all away. He doesn't have the maturity to handle that. It's the same way with us, right? In our immaturity, at this stage, we cannot handle the full blessing of the Spirit. No way. We have to grow. We have to grow. We have to mature into full sons. Then one day, saints, we will inherit all that God is. We can handle it properly. We won't throw it away or abuse it in any way, because we will be fully mature sons. So that's why Paul touches sonship in Galatians 4. He wants those Galatian believers who were begotten by him, right, to mature to full sons, so that one day when Christ comes back, they will be the full sons of God, right? The church life that they were in would become the body of Christ. The body of Christ would become what? The bride of Christ. The bride of Christ will bring Christ back. Christ will set up his kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years. They will enjoy their full sonship for 1,000 years. And then what? Enter and be consummated as the new Jerusalem for eternity. Wow, this is what Paul had in view. And he realized Satan, the enemy, the devil, he's trying to stop us. Number one, to prevent us from Christ revealed in us. If we got saved, the first thing he does is to stop us from Christ living in us. If he begins to live in us to some extent, he will stop you from Christ being formed in you. You have to realize your whole Christian life is a warfare. It's a path. It is a course. It is a race course that you are running from the day you are regenerated to the day of your rapture. So you need to take care of your Christian course so that nowhere along the line you got stuck, you got distracted, you got carried off by something, right? Not allowing you to mature. Because if you don't mature in this age, the Lord has a way to mature you in another age. I don't want to be in that other age. Because I want to be in that age as a full son. I don't want to be in remedial summer school. I don't like summer school. It's too hot. I like to be in air conditioning. Okay. E, right, this is needed, that we may be sons of full age. Heirs, saints, heirs. One day we will inherit all of the riches of the triune God. But today we can't handle it. We can't appreciate it. We can't enjoy it that much. We just have a little foretaste. What we have in the college training is what? Just a little foretaste. We think, oh my, this is the greatest meeting, greatest college training I've ever been in. That's right. You ain't seen nothing yet. Just wait. But you need to enjoy Christ like this every day, every hour, every minute, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, score after score, until, hallelujah, the Lord comes back. Then we get the full inheritance of the triune God. Wow. Wait until that day, saints. Right? Heirs to inherit God's promised blessing. He promised to give the Spirit in full. We only have the foretaste today because we don't have the maturity. So we only get a little bit. If you open to Him, if you amen Him, if you work together with Him, cooperate with Him, agree with Him, He gives you more Christ. You agree with Him, more Christ. If you disagree with Him, no Christ. And you just wait and goof around. No Christ, no Christ, no Christ. Then he comes back. Then summer school. Right? Heirs to inherit God's promised blessing and be those who are mature in the divine sonship. See? These are the verses, right? Galatians 4, Romans 8, Romans 8, 23. Awaiting sonship. Amen. Right? The glorification of our body. In Paul, in 1 Corinthians 16, 13, he tells the Corinthians, be full-grown men. They were babes. They were goofing around, right? His burden also there was to bring them back to Christ. Okay, Romans 2, the book of Galatians, okay, reveals that God's intention is for Christ to be wrought. I like this. You know, to work something. for Christ to be wrought, that means you need to work on it. It takes a lot of struggle, a lot of effort, right, for Christ to be wrought into his chosen people, whom we are, that they may become sons of God. Wow, for his corporate expression. He just doesn't want one or two with the fullness of Christ wrought into them. He wants millions, as many as possible, as many as would give him the way. He wants them to be saturated with himself. So A tells us, verse 19, right? We went over Galatians 4 and 19. Paul likened himself to what? To a begetting father. See? Especially, you have to look at 1 Thessalonians, the Thessalonians, right? He likened himself to a begetting father, to bring Christ into people as a father would beget. And what? And what? A travailing mother. Or, of course, there he talks about, and what? A nursing mother. One that feeds, supplies, nourishes, cares, loves for her children. Feeding others, Christ all the time. Ministering Christ to others. He's a begetting father, right? And a nursing mother. And that's for what? For the regeneration of the Galatians, right? When he preached the gospel to them, okay? B, okay, sisters, read B. Amen. Hallelujah. Right? His writing was what? Christ-centered. Right? His goal was to turn them from the law. Right? They got distracted again by the law, going back to the law, trying to keep all the commandments, trying to be good Jewish ones. Right? And he brought them back to Christ, the Son of the living God, a living person would be what? Would be brought forth in them. You have all the verses, right? The Galatians, what, however, they were what? They were distracted from Christ to the law, so Paul told them repeatedly that it was what? Altogether wrong to leave Christ and return to the law. Don't go back to the law. Well, you make everything of Christ of none effect. You nullify everything. Don't go back to the law. Christ was born, I like this, Christ was born in the Galatian believers. Has Christ been born in you? Hallelujah. That's right. But has he been formed in you? No. Has Christ been born in you?
Amen.
Amen. Has Christ been formed in you? No, amen. Right? So that's why we have this training. Isn't it good?
Yes.
This marvelous time in the middle of the summer. In July, we could gather together, enjoy Christ, enjoy the grace, and have what? Christ formed in us.
Amen.
What else would you rather be doing on a Saturday night? I know in your past you would like to do some other things. But hallelujah, the Lord had mercy on you to bring you here so that Christ could be formed in you.
Amen.
Right? So, Paul what? He toiled. Right? He what? He travailed again. We went over that. Right? In birth, that Christ would be formed in them, which is what? Which is to have Christ grown in them in full. Wow. Then you have, of course, Galatians 4:19. Then, if you compare that with Ephesians 4:13, right? Paul writes to the Ephesians. He talks about what? Until we all arrive at what? At a full-grown man. See? When we read the word, we would say, until we get Christ in us. Or we would say, until Christ lives in us. Is that what Paul wrote to the Ephesians? No. He says what? Until we all arrive at a what? Full-grown man. Full grown, that's God's goal. That's what he's after. So for us to be full grown, Christ has to be revealed in us. Then Christ has to start living in us. Then Christ is what? Formed in us. Right? And then, together, Right. We become a full-grown man at the measure, what? Of the stature of what? Of the fullness. Oh, the fullness of Christ. How full is Christ? Unsearchably rich Christ. Height, depth, length, width. He's the unsearchably rich Christ. Right? That takes a lot of growth in life for us, all of us, to become what? A full-grown man at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Then in Colossians, I like Paul. Don't you like Paul?
Amen.
Paul exhausted the vocabulary, right? He was a genius, right? He knew the Roman politics. He knew what? He was an expert in Judaism. And what? He knew the Greek culture and language. So he could use, that's why, right, you read his epistles, right? He was like a medical doctor, joints and marrow, and he was like a, you know, he was like a warrior, a fighter. He knew the fighting terminology, you know, fiery darts. He knew psychology. He knew sociology. He knew, he was a PhD in all of these things. His writings are filled with these expressions because he's exhausting himself,
Amen.
Trying Amen. Whatever he could, he could be and do, right, to minister this Christ from every angle, this angle, that angle, this angle, this angle, to minister Christ into us.
Amen.
This is what the ministry did through Brother Watchman Nee and through Brother Witness Lee. These brothers agonized, you believe me, from the very beginning. You read the history. These two brothers God raised up in this, right, in the 20th century. One born 1903, one died 1997. Right? Their two ministries span the 20th century. God gave us two men in our lifetime to minister the unsearchable riches of Christ into us.
Amen.
So Christ could be what? Revealed in us, living in us, formed in us,
Amen.
To bring us into sonship, so that one day we could participate in the fullness of Christ. We could be a full-grown man. What a mercy, right?
Amen.
That we could be here under this ministry, right? So again, we're in Colossians 1:28. Paul used another word. He said, right, he said, I struggled.
Yeah.
And that Greek word means what? It means to fight, like a military, like war. I struggled. I fought. I was in combat against myself, against the devil, fighting, struggling, according to his operation, to present you, Colossians, full-grown in Christ.
Amen.
In Galatians, he's a travailing woman. In Romans, he's full of life to impart life into our spirit, our soul, and our body to bring us into full sonship, right? In Colossians, he's a warrior. He's in combat. He's fighting to present the Colossian saints who were distracted by, you know, everything. Worshipping angels, philosophy, Gnosticism. The devil came into Colossae through that way. The devil came into Galatia through that way. The devil came into Rome through that way. You see what I mean? Satan has a bag full of tricks. He knows our weakness. He knows our situation, so he will come into you individually and in maybe into your church corporately to try to do something to stop you from running well,
right,
from growing, maturing, to stop the progress. That's why if you read the book of Genesis, right, when God curses, right, Satan, right, right, that the seed of the woman would what? Bruise Satan's head. But what? He would bruise his heel. Why the Lord's heel? The heel is your move. God can destroy, crush Satan's head, but the devil can only do one thing to the Lord. What? Stop God's move. So he bruised, right? The Lord bruised Satan's head, but the enemy, what, bruised the Lord's heel. That's our move. If you touch my heel, I can't move. All Satan can do is delay God's work. So this is what he does. Through the ages, his work, his bag of tricks is to delay our growth in life, frustrate our growth in life. If you don't have Christ, he will keep you away from Christ. If you have Christ, he will only keep Christ in you, in your spirit. That's it. But if you start seeking the Lord, then he will stop Christ from getting into your mind, your emotion, and will. Then he will stop Christ from what? From being formed in you. You see, all along the journey, saints, of our Christian life, he's there, frustrating, stopping to take us away from full sonship. We have to see this, okay? So here in Colossians, he's talking about, right, struggling, right? According to God's operation, right? To present all of those Colossian believers that he begat, to present them full grown in Christ. How about the ones you labor on? Your classmates that you brought to the Lord? Are you what? You got them saved, so you say, hallelujah, got them. I got five saved. Where are they now? I don't know. They're in the world, right? Where are they? After they are regenerated, right, you have to labor, you have to struggle, you have to operate, you have to work with Christ, you have to fight. You're in combat now to bring that one that you brought to Christ so that he comes into another stage. Amen. Christ starts to live in him. Eventually, you can bring him all the way till Christ is formed in that one. But how can you do that if you don't live Christ? Yeah. One who has Christ in them, right? And you have Christ in you, you can, right, reveal Christ in them. But if you don't go on to the next stage and you don't live Christ, how can you bring that one to live Christ? When you don't live Christ, impossible. You can only bring one as far as you have the experience. And if you don't grow from the stage of Christ living in you to Christ formed in you, how can you have Christ formed in that one? Not, no way. So that's why, right, Paul here is so burdened for our growth in life. Amen. Okay? That's Colossians, right? Then 3, right, in Ephesians 3:17, it's like tonight we're talking about Paul's epistles here, right, not just Galatians, right? In Ephesians 3:17, Paul prayed that Christ may what? May make his home. That Greek word is kata. Which means what? Deep down. Right. We went through the, you know, when we labored in Moscow and St. Petersburg. If you ever been there, I tell you, you talk about subways that go down. Especially St. Petersburg had the deepest one, right? You get in right on the escalator and it goes, you're wondering, my goodness, you're afraid to look back up. How far down are we going? You're looking at, whoa, how far down? Then you hit a lot of plateau. Oh, very good. Then it goes, what, right, Aaron? You were there, right? It goes way, this deep down, kata. God's intention is to go deep down into your heart. Amen. That's Paul. Right? To minister this Christ to those Ephesian believers now. So you see, in Galatians 4, Paul talks to the Galatians about Christ being formed in them. But when he talks to the Ephesians, what does he say? He says the same thing, only he uses another terminology. That Christ may what? May make his home in your hearts. It's the same thing. Christ formed in you, Christ making his home in your heart. It is the same. A, we know that the heart, right? The heart, you know, is what? The mind, the emotion, the will, and what? One part of our spirit, the conscience, right? Make his home in our heart. Not a guest. See, I'm staying across the street. I'm a guest. You know, there are two beds there. I like to throw the one bed out the window. I just need one bed. And the lamp, I like to move the lamp here, and I don't like the picture. I would like to do that, but I can't do that. Why? Because I'm a guest. But when the Lord comes into you, does he come into you as what? As a guest? You have your private room or your private bedroom, right? No vacancy. Right? You have your private room there, right? In your inward being that no one can get into, that locked door. Right? So when Christ comes into you, he doesn't want to come in as a guest or a temporary occupant. He wants to what? He wants to make his home there. He wants to go into every room. Amen. Right? So we should allow him. Right? To let Christ make his home in our hearts means that he what? He makes his home in all these parts of our inner being. All the parts. Right? He should not only spread into our mind, emotion, and will. Right? He should what? Actually become. Oh, my goodness. Not just get in there a little bit. Oh, I got into his bedroom. And then he locked the door again on me. Right? Right? He should actually become our mind. Wow. Become our emotion. And what? Become our will. 1 Corinthians 2:16, we, Paul says, Corinthians, we have the mind of Christ. Wow. Let Christ be your thought, brothers. Your decision, what? Your love. And let him be everything to you. Everything other than Christ must what? Diminish. That's why I like John 3:30. He must what? Decrease. I mean increase. I must what?
Decrease.
That's John 3:30. Christ must become everything to us in our experience. Wow. D, if Christ is to make home in our hearts, he needs to be able to what? To settle down.
Amen.
Lord, settle down in my inward being. This is to have Christ formed in us. And I like John 14:23, right? You know, not only Paul in his ministry touch this matter. Christ formed in us, what? Making his home in our hearts, deep down. Life spreading into your spirit life, your mind life, your physical body life. He talked about agonizing, struggling, fighting in Colossians to present every Colossian full grown in Christ. This is Paul's epistles. But also, John touches this too, right? Here in John 14:23, right? John records, you know, when the Lord was speaking to his intimate disciples in the evening just before his crucifixion, you know, at like 9 o'clock the next morning, he's opening up there, here in John 14, right? If anyone love me, he will keep my word.
Amen.
And what? And my Father will love him. See? If anyone love me, right, he will keep my word. If you love the Son, the Father also loves the Son. You think the Father doesn't love the Son? The Father loves the Son. So if you love the Son, what? The Father loves you. And then he says, we will come. Who's that? The Father and the Son, of course, as the Spirit. We will come to you and do what? Take you to heaven, right?
No.
We will come what? And make an abode with you.
Amen.
So the triune God, the Father, the Son, as the Spirit, right? If you love him, Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
The Father says, oh, I like that.
Amen.
If you say, Lord Jesus, I love you, if you love my Son, I'll come along. Right, Sean? Because I also love the Son. And we will come. If you say, Lord Jesus, you not only get the Lord Jesus, you get what? You get the Father. As the Spirit. You get all three. We will come to Him and what? Make an abode with Him. We will make you a dwelling place. So that God abides in you and what? You abide in Him. We are mutual abodes. How many abodes here this evening? I don't know, 150, 200 abodes? Tony? Tony Buford abode. Tony Buford is an abode. Right? We're all abodes in the Father's house. Amen. In my Father's house, there are many abodes.
Amen.
Right? Individually, we're abodes. Corporately, we're the Father's house.
Amen.
I like to perform a heaven-ectomy on you. One of my favorite jobs is to perform heaven-ectomies. Put it this way, going to heaven concept, a concept ectomy. We're abodes in the Father's house. Wow. The triune God abides in us. We abide in the triune God. That's why the more you love the Lord Jesus, the more you are in the Word, you remain in the Word, the triune God comes to you constantly and visits you again and again and again, daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, decadely, scorely, or whatever, yearly, and what? Makes an abode with you. So God dwells in you, you dwell in Him. You become a dwelling place of the triune God that goes on your whole life. You will be saturated with the triune God.
Amen.
Then that's the New Jerusalem. The full development of that is just the New Jerusalem, which is the tabernacle and the temple. The New Jerusalem is what? The tabernacle of God, where God dwells in man. But where do we live? We live in God. God dwells in us, and we dwell in God. God dwells in man as a tabernacle. We dwell in God as God's temple.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is John's concept. If you have the time, you go into the whole, those main ministries there in the New Testament, right? Peter's ministry, Paul's ministry, John's ministry, all have the same concept.
Amen.
Growth in life, you know, Christ revealed in you, living in you, formed in you, sonship, the divine life in your spirit, then your soul, then your body, agonizing to present you full grown in Christ, Christ making His home in your heart, and John's ministry is what? That we're abodes of the triune God. You see, the whole Bible is one unit, one structure, one particular view from Matthew to Revelation. To work God's Son into us in full, to make us sons of God in full, corporately, as a corporate expression of the triune God.
Amen.
For eternity as the New Jerusalem. You got it? Okay, then lastly, Romans 4. Right, you have to flip over your page. To have the full enjoyment of Christ as what? As the life-giving Spirit. The experience of this is all the Spirit. Christ revealed in you, living in you, formed in you, all of that. How can this be? Because Christ is the Spirit. That's why I told you last night, Galatians 1 and 2 talks about Christ. Christ revealed in you, Christ living in you. Then Galatians 3, Paul goes on to talk about what? The Spirit. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of law or by the hearing of faith? He who supplies to you the Spirit, does he do it by the works of law or by the hearing of faith? He jumps from Christ to the Spirit because of experience, showing in experience Christ is the very life-giving Spirit. Now the Lord is what? Is the Spirit. So to have the full enjoyment of Christ as the life-giving Spirit, He's the blessing of the gospel. We need to have Christ, right? To have the full enjoyment, Christ must be formed in us, right? As believers, we need the full enjoyment of the blessing, right? Full enjoyment of the life-giving. That's why we stress the Spirit all the time. The Spirit, the Spirit. We have a class in the full-time training in Anaheim just on what? The Spirit. A whole book, the Spirit. The Spirit with our Spirit. We have page after page of ministry material on what? On the Spirit.
Amen.
Book after book. We'll take a lifetime, saints. We need to dive into those books. This enjoyment causes us to be permeated, saturated, all the verbs, right? Permeated, saturated, possessed, fully taken over by the Spirit and with the Spirit. Then to have Christ formed in us is to allow, saints, allow, right, the all-inclusive Spirit to occupy every part of your inner being, right? If Christ is not yet fully formed like us, then our enjoyment, right, of the blessing of the New Testament is not at all, right? No, don't say amen. Oh, good. It's not yet full. Don't say you don't have, you do have something, but what is not yet full? We want the full enjoyment, right? Although we have enjoyed the blessing in part, haven't you enjoyed the blessing this whole week in part? Surely we have. Hallelujah, in part. We need to what? Go on. Go on, go on. Go on in the Lord. Be strengthened, go on in the Lord. Not in vain in the Lord. You must go on in the Lord. Go on. Press on. Sail on. Go on to what? To allow Christ, saints, to occupy you fully, to take you over and to saturate every part of your being with Himself. To allow Christ to do this is to what? Is to enjoy the blessing of the gospel, what? To the uttermost, amen. To the max. We want to enjoy Christ to the max. Okay, let's all read the focus. Go. What's next? What's next? What's next?
Awesome sharing. Probably making it about 20 minutes to share.
Hallelujah. Okay, let's take about, I think we have about 20 minutes. We'd like to hear from you. We'll have the mics set up here. We'd like to hear from you again to strengthen and confirm Christ formed in us.